This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Nation, welcome to another edition of Pop Goes the Movies. Now, you're not used to hearing me on this show. This is my debut appearance on the show. Usually, it is hosted by another hostess of Geek and Sassy, my beautiful and wonderful Miranda, but I decided to steal Andy tonight. Even though I'm clearly his second favorite, but perhaps he will deign to podcast with me. How you doing, Andy?
Oh, I will deign away. I'll deign with you anytime, Jennifer. It's great to be on with you. Yeah, I apologize, Nation. A little hoarse from St. Mary's, hanging out with the boys this weekend. But, you know, duty calls, and Jenny wanted to talk a little Spider-Man. I want to talk a little Spider-Man, so we're going to talk Spider-Man together. I may have Jenny do the bulk of the heavy lifting, but she normally does anyway when she's on the shows with me. But, you know, we're going to have fun here tonight. And again, I apologize for the quality of my voice. It's not much worse than usual, but we're going to have a little fun.
So, well, if you decide to bail, I will understand and not at all tease you about it for the next 800 years.
I know, yes. You'll get me about it. But, you know, let's talk a little Spider-Man, though. I'll lead you in. How did you feel going in after Endgame?
Well, I think that most people know that Endgame wrecked me and my life, and I'm a different person ever after having seen that movie. And this is the first MCU movie I've ever not wanted to see because I knew that I would not be able to handle it. And I would have all this post-traumatic stress. I would have to relive things all over again. And I'm trying not to spoil it, but I'm going to assume that most people have probably seen the Endgame.
Well, let's say that we're going to be full spoiler the entire time.
Okay.
Because you can't not spoil it.
Right.
So
when you're talking about this movie, you kind of have to know certain other details. But so I was scared. I was scared of this movie, but I knew that I had to see it. I mean, once you're at this 22, whatever movie's
yes.
in, there's just like no way you're not going to watch it. So, but I do adore Tom Holland. So, I put my big girl panties on and, I had to make sure we had tissues, which did come in handy. Because a lot of this movie is, Tony is still so like present in everything for me.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I just look at Peter Parker, it's just, I don't know. I can't separate it. And it was clear that Peter was having his own issues in dealing with his grief. And I can't say that I blame him. And I think it was, because you have some other characters you can obviously do this with, but nobody can sell it. I don't think like Peter Parker can, like his grief over losing Tony.
Mm-hmm. I think as long as this version of Peter Parker is in the MCU, Tony will be around because Tony was such a father figure. I mean, Happy Hogan did a great job. And there's other parts of the movie we'll talk about as we go along where Tony's influence was there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I understand. We all felt, because it probably affected him more than anybody else. You know, that's not Pepper or, you know,
right.
he was that true father figure. And, you know, that hug in Endgame,
yes.
you know, we were kind of like, oh my God, you know, that's one of those tells, you know, it's like, oh
yeah.
shit, Tony's dying because he just finally did something that we never thought we'd see. He like, you know, hourly hugged Spider-Man. So, I went into the same way. It was kind of like, you know, you saw, once you were able to see the trailer, and you saw it was really him dealing with the aftermath, you knew that was going to be a big part of the story. And yeah, we didn't know if we were ready yet for another story after Endgame.
Right.
It was like, you know, it was a great triumphant victory over Thanos, but it had a cost. You know, we lost Black Widow, we lost Iron Man, and, you know, we kind of lost Cap, so to speak, you know.
For sure.
Yeah, you know, we're not going to see him as we knew him. But, yeah, it was – but I did enjoy the movie thoroughly. I mean, my daughter –
Me too.
It's no secret. I've mentioned it before. My daughter, who is 17, is a huge crush on Tom Holland.
Yes. How did she enjoy the movie?
Oh, she loved it. She was there the whole time, you know, with that big smile on her face. I mean, she's sitting across from me right now with a big goofy grin. She's like, Tom Holland this and Tom Holland that. And
yeah. So, I can't blame her at all. I agree 100%.
Yeah. No, but it was a lot of fun. I mean, I know there was some cheering in the movie. There was, you know, I thoroughly enjoyed it, though. So what'd you think of the explanation of now what they're calling it is the blip?
Okay. I don't enjoy them calling it the blip at all. I mean, that was like a rare miss. For me, just personally,
yeah.
I mean, it's fine. I mean, it is what it is, but I don't know.
Well, it's referred to as a snap only by the people who knew it was a snap. They didn't know. They didn't know that's what it was, though.
Yeah, you're right. I just happen to like snap better. Yeah,
it does.
But I really loved the way they showed people coming back, and the people that didn't get snapped. You know, it's everything's so crazy now because nobody aged.
Yes.
So it throws so many things out of whack. I can't imagine like our planet, like in its current form, trying to deal with this. I mean, it would be impossible, but, it looks like they've sort of adjusted, you know, like people are moving on, you know, life is continuing and, there's so many little things that you have to deal with in the aftermath of this, but, you know, people are still have the same everyday troubles.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I thought they did a really great job with it.
Yeah, it would have been funny if my daughter had blipped and came back, she'd be, her and her brother would be the same age.
I know.
It'd be hysterical. But, yeah, they used it to some jokes, like, about the one girl, was it Betty who was upset that they had just taken their midterms?
Yes.
And, you know, and then that one scene on the plane when Flash tried to buy a drink.
Yes.
And MJ's like, he blipped. He's only 16. He's not 21.
That's a pretty good little scam if you can if you can work it out.
Oh, yeah, I would have been trying it. Yeah, who wouldn't have tried that? Come on. But, yeah, I thought it was and also I heard that somebody asked Feige or somebody about it or how come people didn't like just appear where they blipped, like, you know, all those people falling from the air that was on planes.
Yeah.
And I said, I guess that Professor Hulk, you know, I guess when he did the snap, you have to think, I guess, in your head what you want to happen. So maybe he was like, you know, everybody comes back safely.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. I like it. I'll buy that.
Well, that's
for $1.
And yeah, that one character was Brad, I think his name was, who didn't blip. He was like this little doofy kid.
And yeah.
Now he's this big buff guy who's
he's super hot.
And the whole Edith thing was really funny later on on the bus. But speaking of Brad, let's talk about the supporting characters. Now, Aunt May is back. Who had blipped as well. You know, what do you think of, do you ship her and Happy?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. You're down for that.
Yeah. She was, you know, I know most, dudes and probably ladies have a crush on Aunt May and in this form, as opposed to her, dust in the cooch form of previous movies. But, well,
this is the first MILFy Aunt May.
Yes, but she was real cute. She did really well. She was wearing some weird ass jeans
and mom jeans.
That was a little much, I think. But and then they did this whole sequence where she was like bending over for like the whole scene, I'm like, okay. Maybe they're trying a little bit hard for this, but no, but she was really cute with Happy, and I like that. What do you think?
I like it. You know, I think Happy didn't blip. He has his blip beard going. I'm a big Jon Favreau fan anyway. So give me more Favreau, and I'm happy. I mean, I love him ever since Swingers. And all of his other stuff like Chef. I mean, just gotta. And the guy is also a great filmmaker to boot.
For sure.
But yeah, I like this Aunt May, and I like that, you know, she's not old. Like, this Aunt May can like kind of have a life kind of thing, yeah. Like where she dates. She's a woman. She's got needs, for crying out loud.
All right. She's like the Alfred.
Yeah, I packed your suit. No, the other suit.
A little bit like that. Yeah. And I like that she's in the know, of course. You know, I don't. I knew that, yeah, of course, that her not knowing that he was Spider-Man was not going to last long. So I'm glad that it wasn't like a whole thing, you know.
Yeah, and she used it to her advantage now, too.
Exactly.
Which is
smart. Yeah, very smart.
And then, of course, Ned is back. Who doesn't love Ned?
Now, I thought he was super funny. Mm-hmm. I really loved his little relationship with his little girlfriend.
With Betty, yeah.
With Betty. That was unexpected. And, like, it was a bigger part of the story than I, and you know, kind of thought when it first happened.
Yeah.
But, I thought it was really nice. I liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't as guy in the chairish in this one, but
yeah, he was pretty active, honestly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ned doing the whole couple thing and you know, the summer fling, whatever it was called. Yeah, I love that kid anyway.
Me too.
Now, I do not want to see this guy turn into a villain because I'm not a comic reader, but I understand Ned becomes a hobgoblin at some point in the comics.
I believe that's correct. I'm not.
I don't know. Can
not
you,
at
can,
all for
me. Oh, okay. Can you see this kid playing a villain?
Not unless he gets ripped like that other Asian kid did.
Yeah, that's funny.
I mean.
Yeah.
I could see like them doing like maybe a jealousy angle or something like that. I mean, that's pretty typical.
Or like a lab accident or something.
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know how familiar you are with the old Plastic Man cartoon from years ago. But this kid, Jacob, what the hell of his name is, he needs to play Hula Hula. So, and if you've ever seen the cartoon Plastic Man, there was a character, Hula Hula. He kind of sounded like Costello from Abbott and Costello.
Okay.
And he was like a big Hawaiian guy wearing a big Hawaiian shirt, like the guy, he was kind of like Kimo from Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So just picture that played by Ned.
Okay.
And he hangs out with Plastic Man. I know, it's kind of weird. It's like, what has Andy been drinking tonight? Hot tea. Obviously not working as well as I like.
You probably put some rum or something in it.
I should have, yeah. Mm. Okay, what about MJ or Michelle Jones, as she's actually her real name is. So what'd you think of her?
Well, I'm a huge Zendaya. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm like, yes. All yes. Mm-hmm. Even I know a lot of people from the first movie wasn't totally on board with her sort of weird take on quote unquote MJ, but I like it. It's different, and I think it fits with Peter. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that makes sense. And she's very. She's just very layered, and I enjoy her performances so much. And even like little subtle ways, because even the whole time you're like, I know she likes him, but you're still like, does she really like him? You know, but I don't know. She leaves you sort of guessing.
I think she always like respected his intelligence, I think. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as a like him kind of thing, I love how they were both equally awkward.
Yeah.
You know, which was so adorable.
And I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is so adorable. And that's just maybe my, like, preference. But I do like that awkward sort of thing. And that's Peter Parker.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, from what everybody says who reads the comics, they say, like, this is who Peter Parker really is. He's that awkward teenager who stumbles through, you know, he can kick ass when he's got like the mask on, but like when he's Peter, you know, he's just
a regular dude with the worst luck.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. The guy can't even take a vacation.
Yeah.
That's all I want to do. I just want to unplug for like 2 weeks or whatever long it was. And then he's got to fight, you know, a water guy, a fire guy or whatever.
And that was such a difference between this movie and Endgame or in Homecoming, because mm-hmm. he was so hungry, you know, he wanted to just do everything, and he's just seen too much, you know, like it got really too real. And I can't blame him.
War hardens a man, Jenny. War hardens a man.
Yeah. But he, yeah.
So,
poor Spidey.
Yes, poor Spidey. So, yeah, I did like an MJ. I love how she guessed it, you know, that he was. And then, and Flash, you know, the douche of the class.
Yeah, he didn't have too much to do.
No, but I can't wait. We'll talk about it in a little bit, but what his reaction is going to be to what happened in the mid-credits scene. Yeah, he didn't have much to do, but, you know, he was, you know, that scene was in the trailer where he was like, you know, you love Spider-Man. Yeah, he's got a dope suit. He looks out for the neighborhood. And then Peter walks in. He's like, what's up, dickwad?
Yeah.
We talked about Betty a little bit. You know, she was cute.
She was cute.
I think it added, you know, to Peter's, I think, anxiety a little bit. That her and Ned were together, and it kind of put a little more pressure on Peter, I think, which led to some more awkwardness and some good, you know, stumbles along the way.
And even just like interactions between Betty and Ned were just, mm-hmm. I mean, it was like, it took one plane ride.
I know.
It's like,
I thought they were
but sometimes call that's how it is, you know, I don't know, when you're young like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. I thought they were going to call each other Schmoopy or something, like some Seinfeld. And then I love the teachers.
Oh my gosh. They were unexpected for me as well, especially that one guy's name?
JB Smoove. I love him.
Me too.
He's like a good, like, you know, when there's a panic going on, and he's like, are you serious? Are we going to be doing this shit right now? Kind of thing.
They were the worst fucking chaperones.
Oh my God, yes. Oh, we just got upgraded. Okay, let's go. We didn't talk to any of your parents and tell them you're going to Budapest and not Paris.
All the kids just get into shit all the time.
Yeah. And Martin Starr, who plays the other teacher. Yeah, he's great, as always. Okay, so another new character was Jake Gyllenhaal, who almost played Spider-Man years ago when Toby, I think, was hurt or sick or something. Right, he almost couldn't be in Spider-Man 3, I think. Then they talked about
something like that, yeah.
Yeah, they talked about replacing him with Jake Gyllenhaal. So he's in as Quentin Beck. Now, you know comics way more than I do, but, you know, everybody's saying, like, there were the people like that know comics that kind of saw the turn coming. Mm-hmm. And there are people that don't know comics, not for nothing. He's not going to be a good guy.
Right.
A guy shows up with a fishbowl on his head, he's bad luck. Sorry. Yeah. So he, you know, what'd you think of Quentin Beck and Mysterio, plus the little supporting team he had behind him?
No, I thought it was, like, even though, like you said, super obvious, but always just super entertaining. Like, I think that the earnestness that he played Quentin Beck was just, like, sort of next level for Jake Gyllenhaal, because he knows he's gonna be this dick later, and it just makes those heartwarming, because you did feel like genuine, you know, like sort of grudging respect or whatever between he and Spider-Man, and they had very nice scenes together, and then it just makes the turn bite that much more. And I just thought Jake was brilliant at it.
Oh yeah, he was leading people in to think, you know. You know, because he had a kind of an uphill battle to get people to think that he was a good guy. Because not only did that fool Peter and everybody else, he had to fool the audience for the most part.
Yeah.
And I was biting at times. I was like, maybe they won't.
Who knows?
You know, but when they did, I thought it was awesome. The whole reveal in the bar.
Me too. Oh yeah, it was great. Now, because I wasn't expecting any of that. Like, it just, you don't, you know, you're just like, Wait, what?
did you get chills when he put the glasses on and like?
Oh my gosh!
Peter looks at him with like, oh my god, he looks like Tony. Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I was, like, I was thinking. I think I might have been thinking about that when I was seeing. I was like, oh, I'm like, I wonder how Jenny's reaction to this scene's gonna be.
That was rough. Everything Tony related. I think I said. I'm trying to remember which scene it was. It was a real Tony heavy scene. And I turned to my friend Susan. I was like, I can't with this. Like, I have to just stop. But no, I really liked all how they intertwined all of this master plan into like all the other MCU movies, like making it seem like one big, like long con or whatever, like with this dastardly plan. And I love it when the villain explains their plan too. So I just enjoyed that part of it.
Oh, when they monologue,
love it.
A la Syndrome from The Incredibles.
Yes.
You caught me monologuing. But yeah.
It was really clever, like, and super beautiful, really, to watch in the way that the effects were done.
Mm-hmm.
And to try to make you understand what it was he was doing. Because it's sort of convoluted, right?
Yeah. You had all these people who were pissed off, basically, because of Stark.
Yeah.
And we had, you know, Ralphie from Christmas Story.
I love Ralphie. That was the first thing I said. It was fucking Ralphie.
I didn't realize it, but then you think, like, oh, my God, that him and Favreau are best friends.
Yeah.
I don't remember him being in Iron Man 2. You know, man.
I don't, actually.
Yeah.
Either.
And so that was a good callback right there.
Yeah, really good.
But I love how they like work together and it was like all like a plan and the drones and everything like that. It was, I thought it was really well done.
Me too.
That it was basically like Spider-Man wasn't fighting one villain. He was fighting like several kind of things, like a whole team working together. So
even though, you know, eventually, Quentin gets, or Mysterio gets, you know, drunk on his power and, sort of takes over the show there.
Yeah, starts being kind of a douche, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it's like just, and, you know, instead of it being like he's just like the figurehead, he just starts like, you know, being like a dictator for the most part.
Yeah, exactly.
Over everybody else. So, yeah, what do you think? Do you think, now he mentions a multiverse.
Yes.
Now, obviously, we're going to talk about something in B-Block, which may change our minds from what maybe our initial thoughts were. But what did you think? Did you think it could have been true when he said it?
I wanted to kind of believe that. I really did. I was like, oh, shit, is this what we're doing? But I don't know. I really don't.
Okay. I mean.
It sounds like probably bullshit, though.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll get back to that in a minute because, you know, we have stuff to talk about.
Right.
That leads into that. So, what did you think of the ending? The fight on London Bridge, I think. In there,
yeah, it was nonstop. Mm-hmm. Maybe a tad long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so.
Could have used a little bit of editing there, but also, I mean, just beautiful to watch. Several of these sequences were like when he would create the illusions for Peter. It was reminiscent to me of Doctor Strange.
Yes, like, kind of like mind fucking a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. It was just gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really enjoyed like the whole drone thing. I think that's smart and fun to watch. Like it's just different to watch. That's not something that you've seen in a whole shit ton of movies now.
Yeah,
you know, it's a different thing to play with.
Yeah, I kind of like thought going in. I thought we might get a Doctor Strange appearance, maybe because you know. But Happy kind of played that mentor. I thought Doctor Strange could have been.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
And then you know, also could have been like, you know, too easy, I guess, to defeat Mysterio if Doctor Strange showed up.
Right.
I guess because he would have just said, "No, I'm a real, I'm a real magician, bitch," something like that.
It was like challenging for Peter, but also believable that Peter would outsmart him.
Yeah,
eventually.
Mm-hmm. All right, so And also, I love how MJ and Peter get their first awkward kiss.
Oh, my God. So cute.
Which was adorable.
It was. Oh, something that you talked about earlier, the sequence on the bus.
Mm-hmm. Where Edith.
Yes. That was easily one of my favorite scenes. Because mm-hmm. It's so, like, the reason for it is so petty.
Yes.
Then you get this, like, overblown reaction and Peter trying to control it. Just, he's so funny and just natural and just so much fun to watch that he does everything right in that scene.
Yeah, it's kind of like in a Homecoming a little bit when they had he was learning the superpowers. You know, yeah. Peter has to have one of those, I guess, every movie, where he kind of screws up the tech a little bit.
I can't blame him.
So what do you think of that whole scene towards the end? Happy they're on the jet. Happy's like, you know, Tony left this for you. And you see basically Peter, like one of the only people in the Avengers or the whole whatever that can do the same thing as Tony. Kind of he's being like very Tony-esque with like the pulling the stuff out of the air and all that stuff, and you just see Happy just look at him kind of thing, and he sees Tony.
That was the scene where I said, I can't. I had to go to the bathroom. I was like, it's just too much.
Really? Wow.
And I know I sound like a ridiculous person, but it's just...
No, you don't. This is somebody, you know, look, people can say what they want. They could superheroes, wrestling, whatever. You know, if this is something that... It's a passion of yours and something that, you know, you've followed for the last 10 years. I mean, come on. We followed Tony, this incredible character arc. Of course, it's going to be some emotions. You have feelings.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to feel, even though it's a fictional character, you know, I cry at the end of Mighty Ducks. Okay. You kidding me? You know, when those kids win because it elicits that feeling of being that little leaguer who finally wins kind of thing. Yeah. So it's okay to, you know, get upset, you know, or have some emotional attachment because you've been with this character for how long? You know, you spent more time with this character than you have with some people that you've known him for real life.
Stop, you're going to make me cry.
I'm sorry. But, you know, anyway, so the movie ends, you know, Peter's triumphant, yay. So we go to the mid-credit scene where we have Peter swinging around Manhattan. Now, this is the first time I think we see Peter in Manhattan.
Yeah. Oh, it was so pretty, too.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, my gosh.
And we have him swinging MJ around, who does not like.
Yeah, that was great.
And, you know, he puts her down. He gets up on a thing, and there's breaking news. And this was, like, by far the biggest pop in the theater. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, and the HTFs talk about this on their show also. How they have they bring back the one person that could be J. Jonah Jameson, and that's J.K. Simmons, who played him in the Sam Raimi Spider-Man.
I did not know that was going to happen. So
no, neither did I.
It was woo.
It was great.
It was great.
Now, Jenny, do you have a PlayStation in your house?
I do not. I have every other gaming system except for PlayStation.
So you and your son obviously have never played the Spider-Man game unless you play at somebody else's house.
The new one,
PS4. Okay. Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah, because it's a PS4 exclusive. I actually just finally finished it. And I did the whole game and then I did the DLCs. So it was just, it was kind of like out of that game. Because in that game, J. Jonah Jameson's in it, but he only comes in as a podcaster, basically.
And
you see a little thing comes up on screen, and it's like I guess what it would be like in your iTunes. How mm-hmm. You know, it's like whatever it's called. Jessica, what's it called, the J. Jonah Jameson thing? Do you remember the podcast? No? Okay. Forget it. She beat the game in like 2 days when she borrowed it once. But he comes up, and he, like, you know, at certain times of the game, he reacts to what happens. And it was just like that. That was kind of
cool.
Yeah, so I highly suggest if you are ever at somebody's house and they have a PS4 and they have Spider-Man, checking it out. And also it was kind of reminiscent because the whole thing takes place in Manhattan. So it was very cool, though. I mean, I had no idea what was going to happen either. And basically, Peter gets outed as Spider-Man.
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming either.
Yeah, so. kind of like Iron Man, but not, you know, he didn't want to
right.
do it.
Right.
So, like we said earlier, now, how I want to see Flash's reaction to it.
Oh, my gosh. They should have showed that for sure.
So do you think Quentin Beck is dead?
Ain't nobody ever dead in comics except it's like fucking Tony Stark. He's dead forever, but
well,
probably.
I think Tony in the form we know him as is gone, but we could see him like AI or something or whatever.
Maybe, yeah.
So I think he's gone, but I think we may see another form of him at some point. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm like, it could go either way for me. Anyway, because remember, Mysterio wasn't one person, so Mysterio could still be around.
Mm.
You don't need Quentin Beck per se. So, okay, so that was the awesome mid-credit scene.
Mm-hmm.
And now the post-credit scene,
we get
Nick and Maria, who had been in the movie the whole time, right? Mm-hmm. And we had some great lines, like, bitch, you've been to space or something like that.
Yeah.
Which was great. And then, so they're driving the car, and all of a sudden, they change to the two Skrulls from Captain Marvel, to two main Skrulls. The names escaped me off the top of my head.
Yeah, I never remember their names.
Either. Yeah, so what do you think of that whole reveal?
Now, see, it's funny because I had noticed that Maria Hill was acting weird.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, is Colby just not giving a fuck? Like, because, I mean, I thought Sam was pretty normal and maybe just a little off, but mm-hmm. It was like explainable to me that he would be a little off in the sort of the whole story that they were mm-hmm. doing between him and Peter Parker.
Yeah.
But I did keep noticing her.
Okay.
So then at the reveal, I was like, oh, okay, that makes a lot more sense to me.
I wasn't shocked. I was slightly surprised, but I wasn't shocked. Like,
yeah, it wasn't like,
oh,
it wasn't J. Jonah Jameson shocking.
Yeah, it was kind of like the dots got connected.
Yes.
And your head's like, oh, that's what was going on.
And then it just does that automatic click, like, well, where the fuck's Nick Fury?
And we see where Nick Fury
is. And then you see it where it is, and it seems perfect.
Like, he's up in space.
Yeah.
So I've heard that this could be the formation of what's known as S.W.O.R.D. in the mm-hmm. comics, which I guess is the space equivalent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Right?
Mm-hmm.
As far as
Sword I've heard, and Shield. That
yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah, I've heard that. I listen to other podcasts, by the way. So what? Somebody, so, yes.
I'm you
know,
daring.
Well, you know, you never know. We never know. We can find them to make a new guest or something.
Only if it's Conrad and Tony are you allowed to listen to any other podcasts.
Well, I love hearing rumors and innuendos. But anyway, so yeah, so that could be, leading into where we're going next. Right?
Yeah, gotta be.
And where are we going next? Well, we're going to talk about that in B Block.
Nice segue.
Nice segue. But Jenny, before we get there, though, do you have any last thoughts you want to share on Spider-Man Far From Home?
Okay. I think I liked it better than Homecoming, and I super fucking loved Homecoming. So,
You probably love that they both ended with what the fuck.
Yes. I think that probably Mysterio is a slightly less villain than the previous one.
Than Vulture.
But not by much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Vulture. But it's still pretty close.
I think he's like the top, like, you know, 8 to 10 villains in MCU.
Yeah, oh, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I thought that they did really well with what worked with the first movie, and then they added to that. And I just don't think that Tom Holland can do anything wrong. He's like,
yes,
probably the most perfect person on this earth
to play Spider-Man.
Yes, for sure.
Although another segue, I think they found an even more perfect person for a part this weekend at Comic-Con.
Ooh, okay.
And we're going to discuss that when we come back. So keep stick around. So we're going to talk about what happened at San Diego Comic-Con 2019, all the Marvel Cinematic Universe announcements, what Phase 4 is shaping up to look like. So stick around. Jennifer Smith, Andy Atherton, Pop Goes the Movies. We'll be back right after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. The Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed. We dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at Bigelow34.proboards.com. For all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
To Be Nation, welcome back to Pop Goes the Movie on the PTBN Pop Feed. I'm Andy Atten here with Jennifer Smith, and we're going to talk a little about the what happened at Comic-Con. A lot of shit went down, a lot of announcements happened at this past weekend, San Diego Comic-Con. But first, we're going to talk about what's going on here at Place to Be Nation. Jenny, what's going on here on the Pop Feed, the feed that everybody out there is listening to right now?
Well, I mean, if you're not going to Coke and stripper parties in Rhode Island, then you can definitely listen to a couple of shows here on the Pop Feed, including the Sarcastic Four, when they continue their look at 1971 with the second of their three-part episode of Marvel Age, the ninth episode of Laughing Theater with yourself, Andy, with Mr. John Arsenio D'Amato, and you guys did a live watch of The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Lots of fun.
I bet. Any conversation with Jad is fun.
Oh, yeah. John's the best.
And then on the 31st episode, Jesus, 31st, okay, of Songs with Friends, Stephen Kelly Talk, Jim Blossoms, and DMX.
Wow.
Which is a That's quite an interesting combination.
Yeah, it's like quite a dichotomy right there.
The Hard Traveling Fanboys, Greg and Nick, continue Spider-Man Month with a look at the 2002 Sam Raimi-directed Spider-Man movie. DC4U continues its celebration of Superman with a look back at the pilot episode for the classic TV show Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, and also pay tribute to the late Eddie Jones, who played Pa Kent. He died recently. It's very sad.
Yeah.
And I love that show. So listen to that episode. Pop Goes the Movies, when Andy and Miranda, you guys did an episode in which you discussed Toy Story 4 and Men in Black International.
That's a fun.
Glenn and Alana were back with a new spectacular review of Stranger Things Season 3. And then you again, Andy, on The Great Debate number 6. You were joined by Nick Duke, Jordan Duncan, and Scott Criscolo, and to talk about things.
Yes, sports and pop culture, basically.
Those two things.
Yeah, I lean into the strengths of the guests. So we talked a little Batman, and went over some grilling with Nick on what is the best steak for grilling. And lots of fun answers there. So if you want your summer barbecues to be even better, I suggest listening to that part of the Great Debate, because Mr. Duke is the grill master at Place to Be Nation.
Yeah, he is.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest song of the 80s tournament continues. You can still vote in the polls every day with six polls. You can just search PTBN's greatest song of the 80s tournament and then like that page and you'll see the polls every day. And this tournament will never end. We will all be old, like Aunt May.
Which Aunt May?
This ends. The old fucking Aunt May.
Oh, okay. No, like it'll be over around October 1st, so.
Okay.
So there is an end in sight. I know everybody's having fun, but there will be a winner at some point.
All right.
Okay, cool. We'll talk about the tournament again in a second, but over on the wrestling feed, Ben Zanny, he dropped two episodes of Row 1 Seat 1. He welcomed in guests Dominic Guarini and Tony Deppen. I hope I said that right. On episode 130. Holy shit, 130 episodes.
I know, right?
Of main event. Scott, Nate, and Steve are joined by Sheriff Pete Schirmacher to talk about NJPW G1 Climax, a little AEW, a little Impact, Evolve, and much more. Chris and Devin were back to bring you the same night review of Extreme Rules 2019. On the latest episode of the PTBM podcast, JT and Scott welcomed him in Tim Slomka, I apologize, Tim, to the mothership as they talk the WWF house show from October of 1989. And then some huge news at Place to Be Nation. Finally, we're filling that void of a lack of ECW content. That's right. Jennifer, Jenny, my friend, my Southern Belle, my queen, the queen bee of Place to Be Nation. You have another show.
Well, I can't resist it when you get JT and John, you know, for this three man booth. I mean,
yes, that is
I couldn't turn it down.
That's quite the Triple J threat there. So your new show is the Extreme Three Way Dance, where you, JT Rosero, and John Docinio D'Amato. You talk about ECW, and you just put your pilot episode up, kind of like giving everybody like a sneak peek of what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to it. It was a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to these episodes. You and I chatted a little bit about ECW. So I love the dynamic because you have John, who like watched it when it was on. Then you have Justin, who has some familiarity, and you haven't really watched much ECW.
No.
So you have a lot of fun coming your way.
I can't wait.
I used to watch it on MSG. I think used to show it here up in the Northeast when I lived in New York. And we used to have to sit through a lot of ads on those shows. Every time I hear the song Connection by Elastica, I always think of ECW because that's what they played over the last year. Dirt, and it was like the whole thing of like ECW. So yes, so listen to that show. It's awesome. Like I said, like I told you, I went to two house shows and they were very interesting experiences.
Mm-hmm,
So if you love ECW or you just want to hear about ECW or you want to experience ECW like Jenny is for the first time, check that show out. And like Jenny mentioned earlier, the Greatest Song of the 80s tournament is continuing on. And right now we are still in the first round. We are in the Panama bracket. This is the 6 of 8 brackets. We're almost to the end of the first round. Actually, yes. Woohoo. Finally. So we're just going to go over some matchups quickly. Those will probably be all said and done by the time you all listen to this, but who knows? So we have, and hopefully Jenny has heard of all these songs, by the way, because she's a little bit younger than me. We have What Is Love by
a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. A lot of it. Okay. All right. So we have What Is Love by Howard Jones going up against We Don't Have to Take Our Clothes Off by Jermaine Stewart.
Mm. What Is Love?
Oh, really? Oh, I love that Jermaine Stewart song. That was a lot of fun. I remember that hearing that. Not kind of understanding it when I was a kid when it came out. And we have a staple of this tournament, Hall & Oates with Man Eater.
Ooh.
Going up against Got My Mind Set on You by George Harrison.
Mm-hmm. It's got to be Man Eater.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I agree with you on that one. Then we have from the title song from Weird Science, Weird Science by Oingo Boingo. It's just fun to say, Oingo Boingo. Up against one of the best ballads of the 80s, Faithfully by Journey.
Oh, for sure, Journey.
I mean, this is going to be as Scott would say, a mollywomping.
Yeah, whatever that means.
I mean, Faithfully's going to kick the shit out of Weird Science. All right.
As it should.
Yes. We have Poison Arrow by ABC versus Freeze Frame by Jay Gosband.
Freeze Man.
Yeah, Freeze Frame. What a trippy video that is.
Yeah, that's so freaking weird.
With the finger going and all that stuff and the paint. Yeah. All right, here we go. We got Wrapped Around Your Finger by the Police versus Walk Like an Egyptian by the Bangles.
Egyptian.
Yeah, I agree with that one. And then finally, we have What's Love Got to Do With It by the great Tina Turner versus Youth Gone Wild by Skid Row.
Tina Turner.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people they always say, oh, I like this other song better. Yes, I think this is Youth Gone Wild is probably my third or fourth favorite Skid Row song. I put I Remember You, 18 in Life, and maybe even Monkey Business from their later album. There's also there was a power ballad from that other song too, Wasted Time. I think that was the 90s though. So anyway, so go on there, like the page. Oh, and every day, 6 matchups a day. The tournament's going to run probably till about October 1st. So there'll be lots of fun to have by all. So, Jenny.
Andy.
So we're both, huge movie fans, obviously, because we're on Pop Goes the Movies. And you're often on some of the other movie-related shows. You guys talk about Geek and Sassy. You guys talk about Marvel stuff. You're on with the HTF sometimes doing some comic-related movie stuff. So this was basically the Super Bowl for nerds.
Pretty
this
much.
Weekend. We had Comic-Con San Diego version, which is the big one. And I didn't think we were going to get a lot of MCU announcements because it's an odd number of year. And in the odd number of years, Disney has their D23 Expo and Marvel being a subsidiary of Disney. I thought they were going to hold it for their own convention. Mm-hmm. But I think they did. They did announce a lot of MCU and Marvel-related stuff, but I think there's more coming next month at D23. I think they saved a little bit.
God, what the fuck else do they have?
I don't know, but I just think that we're going to go through what they announced, but I think that there's some stuff they left out. That's just my personal feeling. So, they had the whole Hall H thing, and the first thing they announced, they did that, something like they did a few years ago where they had the timeline go up. This timeline was only for about a period of about 2 years. Mm-hmm. So the first thing we got is next May, we have on May 1st, 2020, we have Black Widow coming.
About time, huh?
Mm-hmm, about time she got her own movie. Now, we all thought it was going to be a prequel, but actually what they told us is the timeline is between Civil War and Infinity War.
I like it.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, everybody thought we were going to get the whole Budapest story, which we may still get at some point. But, they're going to introduce David Harbour's in there from Stranger Things. And he's also in Suicide Squad or Batman vs. Superman. He was in one of those as well. And we got Florence Pugh, who may be taking over the mantle of Black Widow. Spoilers, Natasha dies in Endgame, so we may need a new Black Widow. And Rachel Weisz. And apparently the Taskmaster, I think, may be the villain in this movie.
So I'm for it.
So I don't know the Taskmaster that well. But
I don't either.
But he's in that Spider-Man video game.
Right.
he's a prick in that game, actually. He's not the main villain. He's like.
Is his name Kevin Sullivan, though? I mean.
The Games Master, you mean? from the University of Mars, I think, when he was in the Varsity Club. See, Jenny's other show, she's referencing Talking WCW, which is on the wrestling feed. I don't know, Jenny, we're in a competition for who gets more, who has the most shows, I think.
I think you fucking win that one.
No, I think you win.
There's
that
no competition at all.
Yeah, I'm not on the wrestling feed yet.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time.
Yes, probably the next few months. But anyway, So the next one we got announced was The Eternals, which we had heard about November 6, 2020, starring Angelina Jolie, Kumail Nanjiani, other people. I don't know off the top of my head, but Salma Hayek is in that movie. So what do you think? Do you know anything about The Eternals in terms of...
I don't know anything. I've seen some chatter in the comics group. But yeah, no, all that's new to me. And it's really interesting to me, Marvel casting. So like they very rarely put the wrong people in these roles. So it just, with the caliber of like actors and actresses that we're getting, it's just, I don't know. It makes me like kind of happy because everybody bitches about superhero movies and that's the only thing that anybody does anymore. But really, it's elevated to this point, right? It's just not the way that it used to be. And I really enjoy getting these big ass names like Angelina Jolie. I think she's probably going to kick ass. And even though she's an unexpected name for something like this.
Yeah, she's going to play a character named Thena. And then somebody named Ma Dong-seok is going to play a Forgotten One. Richard Madden is playing Icarus. Brian Tyree Henry is playing Phaistos. Lauren Ridloff is playing Makari. Leah McHugh is playing Sprite. Kumail Nanjiani, I forgot his character's name. And Salma Hayek, I think, is the leader of this group. Ajak, I guess, as she's called. So yeah, they're like kind of like the Celestials or something. Or, I don't know.
That's cool.
It's gonna be fun. It's this is kind of like the Guardians of the Galaxy effect, where
we have
no idea kind of really who they are unless you're a comics gut person. So this is our this next group's Talking Raccoon and Talking Tree, basically. Like, I'm there, though.
Sure.
All right, so also we got, as opposed to last time, now with Disney Plus coming in October, I believe it's October or November.
I think it's November.
November. So we have Disney Plus series that are tying into the MCU. And the first one in the fall of 2020 is The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, starring Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan reprising their roles. Actually, Anthony Mackie came out on stage with the original Cap shield. So we're going to get some more of that fun stuff we started in Civil War kind of thing.
Yeah.
It should be an interesting. And Baron Zemo is back as the villain.
Yes.
Wearing his mask now from the...
I am curious how... This, you said this is on Disney Plus, right?
Yep.
So this is a show?
Yep, it'll be one of those probably like 6 or 8 episode limited series things.
I think that's interesting. I've liked what I've seen on the Netflix version, although I doubt this will be that sort of vibe. I think it'll probably be more like the movies are.
Yeah, because this is part of the Marvel Studios, and the ones on Netflix were Marvel Television.
Right.
And the one of the announcements we're going to talk about in just a few minutes basically was Kevin Feige saying, no, those Netflix shows are not in the MCU kind of thing.
Right.
Because, how can somebody play two different characters?
Yeah.
In the same universe. So we have that. And then we have our next movie coming out February 12th of 2021, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, which I don't know anything about Shang-Chi.
Dude, I was like, what is this? I have no idea what this is.
No, so it's our first, Asian a superhero in the MCU, which is very cool.
It is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I mean, I grew up watching Justice, Super Friends, the cartoon, so I knew Samurai. He was a little different character. And then another thing we kind of knew about on Disney Plus is coming in spring of 2021. We have WandaVision, which is with Elizabeth Olsen as Wanda Maximoff, Scarlet Witch, and Paul Bettany as the Vision. And this takes place, I believe, it's post-Endgame, but somehow there's some time travel involved in this. I'm not quite sure. And we have to see how they're going to bring the Vision back because, you know, kind of dead.
Will we see a sex scene is what I want to know.
On Disney Plus.
See, that's why some of this is like I hesitate on just because, like, I kind of don't want it on Disney Plus.
But you want it on like Hulu After Dark.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, whatever. I'm me.
Yeah, you just want to see some, you know.
Well, when it comes to Loki, I mean, don't you want to see an R-rated Loki?
Well, I mean, it depends on what R-rated you mean. Like, can what Loki, like, swear in, or you want, like...
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Both.
Well, maybe, you know.
He's the god of mischief. Come on.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, and speaking of Loki, that's also coming in the spring of 2021. So, this Loki, though, is the Loki in 2012, who had just, you know, tried to... took on the Avengers and got the shit kicked down by the Hulk and hasn't gone through the arc of redemption like he did in Thor the Dark World and Ragnarok and everything else. So this is still evil Loki.
I love it. That's beautiful.
And he's going to be going through time, also causing some shit.
Yes. All of that.
So, and then we spoke about it earlier, but we talked about the multiverse. Mm-hmm. And in May 7th of 2021, we have Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. And apparently, Scarlet Witch is going to be in this movie as well. So WandaVision leads into this movie, basically, as far as what we've been told.
I wondered if the TV shows would interact with each other in some way.
Yeah, they all are this. This is all canon. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see some, you know, guest shots here, this and there, and everything. It's a whole connecting universe.
Right.
So after that, we have... now, this is in the MCU, but it's probably not going to affect the storyline at all because it's What If? And it's going to be animated in the summer of 2021. And they've gotten all, now this includes your beloved RDJ, all of the actors to do to lend their voices to this animated series.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so we're going to see, you know, like a What If, you know. You know, whatever.
What if Tony didn't die episode one? Can I suggest that?
Yeah, you could do that. What if, you know, Captain America, what if Peggy Carter got the serum and not Steve Rogers?
Ooh, I like that. Yeah.
I think that was one story that actually happened, I think, in the comics or something. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait for that, actually. That's kind of like, you know, we have a show on the wrestling feed. What If? With Nick and Greg. So, you know, they're just biting off us. That's what they're doing. Place to Be Nation, we are the trendsetters.
We are.
And, you know, a huge corporation like Disney has got a copy off of us. Come on.
Get it together,
Disney. You know, wait till they hear from our lawyers. Anyway, so, and in the fall of 2021 on Disney Plus, we have Hawkeye.
All right.
Coming. So,
give me all the Kate Bishop.
Yes, please. Apparently it's going to be Kate Bishop is going to be introduced. And everybody's thinking that this could be one of the things that leads to the Young Avengers.
That would be cool.
So I'm looking forward to that. I mean, you know, Hawkeye is, you know, at least he's self-aware. You know, that he's a guy with a bow and arrow. And then probably one of the biggest surprises. Now, it just came out right before Comic-Con that Taika Waititi was going to be writing and directing Thor 4. But we were not expecting it to be called Thor Love and Thunder. And it's coming out November 5th, 2021. And, you know, Valkyrie's back. Thor is back. And Natalie Portman is returning. And she will be the female Thor.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe she wants to redeem her reputation. Maybe that's where we're going. Because I know she's talented. She is. Mm-hmm. But, like, maybe this is just, like, a big eraser to what she's done in the past movies. And even reaching back to the Star Wars movies.
Wow.
But I'm just saying, like, if she can pull it off, this could work. But it's quite a risk. I don't know. Do you agree with this?
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, I like Natalie Portman.
I do too.
I think, you know, apparently the deal was done about 6 months ago in secret.
Obviously.
Yes. Well, you know, now the first two Thor one is okay. I don't think it's great. I don't think it's terrible.
Right.
Thor the Dark World, you know, is probably a better movie now than it was when it came out because of, you know, where its effect it has on the rest of the MCU kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's if it was a standalone, it's probably not, you know, it's terrible. But but it's less terrible because it actually has a place and a meaning and a purpose, I guess, even though it's not a great movie. But you know, I really, you know, you really don't see a turnaround like you do from Thor 2 to Thor 3, aka Ragnarok.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was such like a 180. I mean,
right.
You know, Ragnarok's at the top of a lot of people's lists as their favorite MCU movie. Meanwhile, Thor 2 is at the bottom of most people's lists.
Right, yeah.
So, and I think Taika Waititi has a lot to do with that, with his, and I think Chris Hemsworth also kind of embracing the character a little more and giving it a lot of humor, which I think started with the Avengers, I think. They started sprinkling a little bit there. And Chris Hemsworth is, you know, a very funny comedic actor.
Very you know, funny. Well, and she's funny, too. Like, it's different, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I think that may have you know, convinced Natalie Portman, like, you know, this isn't going to be a shit show kind of thing.
Hopefully, so and probably a big ass fucking check. Probably,
oh yeah, of course,
as well.
Yeah, and you got to come in and you got to up your game because this is
you
like,
do. I mean, yeah, because I mean he's beloved. I mean, who doesn't love Chris Hemsworth? I mean,
yeah.
It's fucking bold. It's ballsy.
Yeah, it is.
In my opinion. And so they score points with me for that.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people probably, well, I don't, hopefully not a lot of people anymore, but some of them might, you know, get their panties in a twist because they're doing a female version of Thor.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I don't know, maybe the female Thor coexist with the regular Thor. I don't know, but there's also another thing where what's her face? Who plays Tessa Thompson, who plays Valkyrie. Mm-hmm. You know, now that she's the King of Asgard, she's gonna be looking for her queen.
Yeah.
Which, you know, in a deleted scene, I think from Ragnarok, had kind of given says that she's a bisexual character. So this is the first I always screw it up when I try to say LBQT or TQ. I don't know, but she's the first openly bisexual or gay or trans or whatever character in the MCU, which is really cool that, you know, they're acknowledging all that stuff finally.
Right. Yes.
So, and she's great. I mean,
she is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was all the, and then finally, the thing I was talking about where the perfect actor or actress for the perfect character, they announced Blade is coming into the MCU. And I'm sorry, nobody else could do this. Mahershala Ali.
Yeah. Wow.
That guy is just coolness and he's going to get buff.
Oh my God.
And he's going to kick some ass now. It's probably not going to happen until phase 5 because they literally. I heard a story earlier about that. Basically, right after he won the Oscar for Green Book, he goes up to Kevin Feige and says, "I want to play Blade." And Kevin Feige's like, oh,
"Whatever
okay.
you want."
He's like,
literally,
okay.
just have it.
He's like a 2-time Oscar winner wants to play a character in my universe. Of course,
yeah. Like we're gonna make that happen for sure.
So he did play Cottonmouth in Luke Cage.
Yeah.
So that's basically Kevin Feige saying, "No, those Netflix shows don't count. Sorry, guys."
That just irritates me, but I get it. Like I get it. It makes sense. You have to pretend like it didn't happen, but it's very frustrating for me. But
Yeah, so that's so we're gonna get vampires in the MCU.
Yes.
So I think there's another character, it's Morbius, I think, a vampire, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so there should be. See, I'm like a peripherally nerd, I guess. You know, like I know a little bit about a lot, not a lot.
I'm kind of the same way, yeah.
Yeah, so. So they announced some other movies that we all kind of knew were coming and some we didn't, which is why I think we're going to get maybe some more details at D23 Expo. Mm-hmm. But, Black Panther 2 is coming. Of course. Captain Marvel 2. Of course. Mm-hmm. Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which we knew because James Gunn is back. And then we're also getting the Fantastic Four.
Wow. Really?
Mm-hmm. And they also mentioned mutants. They didn't say X-Men, but they said mutants.
Mutants. So, all right.
So they're going to be the X-Men. It's just, you know, it's going to be a little while before they come in. We'll see the Fantastic Four first, basically.
They could keep trying. I mean, why the fuck not? Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're going to recast probably most of it.
Yeah, I know, but, yeah.
And Deadpool, obviously, they didn't say anything about Deadpool, but Deadpool 3 is going to be under the Marvel Disney banner as well. And they said it's going to stay R-rated. So I think stay tuned. Now I think come about a month from now at D23, they're going to make a few more Marvel announcements. I have a feeling. Okay. But what do you think? You excited for the next? Now this is only like the next 2.5 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is extremely ambitious, but I mean, like...
Well, it's, let's see, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 movies in 2 years, which is normal for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, we're getting 2 movies next year. We're getting a May and a November, and then the year after that, we're getting a, let me look, a February, a May, and a November. So...
Yeah, it's just all the TV in between that, I mean.
Well, they're spreading it out for the most part.
Yeah.
Looks like, you know, the only two that are coming out the same span are WandaVision and Loki. Everything else has its own, like, time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying the time frame. I mean, you know, they could come out a couple of months apart. Who knows? But, yeah, it's going to be very interesting, you know. I think there's a few things that were lacking, though. A lack of Avengers for the most part.
Mm.
And a lack of like a big team up movie kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe we'll hear some of that coming up.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm very excited though for these movies. You know, we have our little summer movie wager going on here.
Sure do.
And when we play next year, it's going to be a lot harder.
Yeah,
because there's no clear cut number one.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, is Black Widow? You know, I don't exactly know what else is coming out next summer off the top of my head, but is Black Widow going to be the number one movie in terms of domestic box office next summer?
Probably not.
Yeah, there's probably some animated movie coming out or something that could do well. But yeah, so very, it's a great time to be a movie fan, especially if you're a Marvel movie fan.
For sure, yes.
So we have a lot to look forward to. You know, we have Disney Plus, you know, with the great price point. I think it's $6.99 a month to start, which is going to be pretty cool, I think. Right?
Is that all?
Yeah, I think that's the price point. It's going to be, I think, $6.99 a month. Yeah, they're coming out of the gate strong. I think, you know, Disney is, you know, a very smart corporation. I mean, they made... I read a stat earlier today or yesterday. It was like they've made $18 billion off the investment of Marvel, which was a $4 billion investment.
Well.
So they kind of know what they're doing.
Yeah, they kind of do.
So there are companies, though, that, you know they're going to take a hit for like a number of time. And I know, you know, they're just doing it to bring people away. It's like people, you know, if you sit there and you're like, I only have so many dollars I can spend on my streaming services. What am I going to cut? Well, you're going to cut maybe a Netflix, which is like 10 bucks or so a month, or Hulu, which is 10 bucks a month, or, you know, Warner Brothers or whoever. But are you going to cut Disney at $7.99 a month or $6.99 a month with the entire basically Disney catalog of movies, The Simpsons, the MCU, all these new original shows, the Star Wars shows? I mean.
Right. Yeah. It's a steal. Really.
I mean, they're not going to make a profit on it. But, you know, USA Today, I think, didn't turn a profit. I think for like the first 10 years they were in business. I mean, it's just a.
Yeah, I really think money is probably the least of their fucking worries.
Yeah, especially when they took like a huge hit when they didn't allow when they broke their contract with Netflix and didn't mm-hmm. allow Captain Marvel to go over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, money's no object for the mouse.
Nope.
You know, I just wish that whole they could work out that deal with the theme park rights, east of the Mississippi thing that they had going on. I don't know if you know what that is, right?
Sort of.
Okay, so basically, Universal has the theme park rights to Marvel. Well, mm-hmm. almost all of Marvel, like 90% of Marvel characters. So they can't build anything really like Iron Man or Hulk or, you know, Spider-Man related at Disney in Florida, but they can do it at in California,
right?
Or Japan, China, France, whatever. So. Which is kind of interesting because they have, you know, now that Disney owns The Simpsons, that's a huge land at Universal. I'm like hoping they can make some kind of deal. We're like, okay, we'll let you keep The Simpsons in your park, but we got to have our superheroes back. And you can go retheme it like Wizard of Oz or something, which has been talked about. Taking the Incredible Hulk and making it the Wicked Witch of the West Coaster or something.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so lots of great Marvel stuff coming down the pike. And speaking of coming down the pipe, Jenny. What do you got coming down the pipe here at Place to Be Nation?
I could have taken that a couple of different ways. But
All right. What shows do you have coming up? How's that?
Well, like we talked about earlier, in a few weeks we'll have the first full-length episode of the Extreme Three-Way Dance on the wrestling feed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you should be able to hear the latest episode of Freak Out Drive-In with me and Tim Capel,
ooh.
In which we watched Lake Placid.
Oh, God. I love me that Betty White in that movie.
Oh, my God. It's so good. It holds up so well. Like, I enjoyed it so much.
My favorite line in the movie is when she goes, if I had a dick, this is where I tell you to suck it.
Suck it, yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm looking forward to that one.
I'm rooting for the crocodile.
Betty White is a filthy, foul-mouthed
yes,
old lady.
Love her. And she's barely in like three scenes.
I know.
It's so good. Like, I love that movie.
Mm-hmm. Did you get to see Crawl yet?
Not yet.
All
it's on my list.
All right, I saw it. Some good jump scares.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. Highly recommend it.
That's all I could think of off the top of my list. You can listen to Weekend Playlist on PlaceToBeNation.com mm-hmm. every Friday. Just a little fun, like short little playlist
mm-hmm.
put together every week. So check that out. We're on Apple Music and Spotify and YouTube.
Awesome. Check that out. For me, I'm still in the planning stages of some shows. We're going to have a year in pop coming, hopefully be the end of the summer. We're up to year 1977, so y'all know what that means. Star Wars A New Hope. Yep, that's mm-hmm. going to be one of our big talks about that in that that episode. We'll get a great debate out there hopefully soon. Looking forward, looking backs coming back very soon. We're actually going to have a bunch of looking forward, looking backs over the next few months. So check that out. And then also more episodes of Laugh in Theater coming with possibly Chad Campbell. Who else do I wind up? Maybe Mr. Jordan Duncan. I just got The Godfather, Nate Milton, to pick a movie, so.
Really?
Yes. So
I
you
love Nate Milton.
You should be hearing Nate sometime in the next few months. Him and I live watching a very fun movie. Yes, Nate is the man. He is very funny.
He is. I wonder if you like scary movies.
Doesn't hurt to ask.
Okay, sure will.
What's the worst that could happen? You could say, nah.
Well, then that would hurt my feelings, obviously.
Well, you know, I'll put a good word in for you with Nate.
Oh, thank you.
So, what else we got going on here? Just check out the website, placebation.com. We have new articles going up all the time. We have our 1994 in review going up every Friday. We have Glenn's Wednesday walk around the web, plus new articles, new columns coming very soon. There's going to kind of be like not a revamp of the site, but kind of like, you know, the content is going to get upped a bit over the next few months. So check that out. Go on Facebook, like all the pages. Geek and Sassy has a page. Great Debate has a page. We have more pages coming soon for A Year in Pop, Freak Out Driving. Jenny, Freak Out Driving should have a page, by the way.
I already manage like 85 pages on Facebook, so.
All right, well, 86. What's the difference between 85 and 86, really? So like the greatest song of the 80s tournament, it's going to continue. And then, you know, there'll always be a new tournament coming down the line. So we plan to do a bunch every year. So, you know, check it out. PleaseToBeNation.com, the wrestling feed, the pop feed, and the pro boards also.
The pro boards,
Bigelow34.proboards.com with the greatest WWE televised match project going on. Get those picks in because they're going to be coming out soon for the solicitation of the year. Well, you know, I know what Jenny's going to say about when I say the word solicitation. Jenny's taking everything I say the wrong way tonight.
Sweet angel. I don't know what you're talking about.
So, Jenny, I want to thank you for joining me on Pop Goes to the Movies. Finally.
Well, I'm sorry I'm not Miranda, but I tried to just, you know, make it fun for you. How was it, Andy?
It was great. Okay. I'm glad you're not Miranda. I'm glad you're Jenny.
Oh,
you know, I'm always
glad somebody's glad.
I love podcasting. You know that.
I know. I'm just teasing.
I know you love to tease me, but you know, Jenny will be back hopefully on some more episodes. You know, Jenny's more of a horror movie maven, so to speak. So if you get to see Crawl,
mm-hmm.
and somebody else gets to see Crawl who wants to do that episode with you, we'll do a Pop Goes Movies Crawl.
All right.
Plus you have It Chapter 2 coming, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Plenty of other movies. You know, Crawl had some really scary trailers before it. There's
cool.
Yeah, there's one called, well, they're not all scary. There was one called The Hunt with mm-hmm. Betty Gilpin from Glow. Basically they kidnap people and they put them around an island and rich people hunt them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw that one.
So that sounds cool. Then there's that hide-and-go-seek horror movie with the bride. Mm-hmm. That looks like a lot of fun. That looks like a very horror comedy. And the trailer terrified me. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Oh, my God, yeah.
That's yeah. all you, Jenny. You and Scott can handle that. I'm good. I'll pass, you know.
Well, some of us can handle it, and some of us can't. So.
Well, some of us may have had nightmares as a child when they smart things they shouldn't have, which is the reason why they don't like certain horror movies. But I do want to thank you for talking some Spider-Man with me tonight. And
you're welcome.
And going over the Marvel, what's coming up down the pike. So for Jennifer Smith, I am Andy Athan. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Pop Goes to Movies, and we'll talk to you next time. See ya.
You need to stay away from them coke and stripper parties.
Oh my God, you know, that's all they are up in Rhode Island. Just coke.
Yeah, I know.
It's just coke and strippers.
Non-stop.
Oh my God.
A whole parade.
Chocolate. Chocolate.
Oh God.